This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Thursday, about to offend the entire United States of America, because for hopefully the final time, I'm going to address this stabbing thing that is all anybody wants to talk about. Once we get done with that, we will discuss the birthplace citizenship stuff, the Supreme Court. We'll do some emails, do some other things on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, as you know, I've brought up this story once or twice, max, but I think it's sad and it's awful, so I haven't wanted to talk about it, but it's all anyone can discuss right now, and I feel obligated to vent out my final thoughts, and here's what they are. You already know, track meet, Frisco, Texas, a black kid from a different school goes and sits in the wrong tent, gets in a confrontation with the white kid from the Frisco school. The black kid pulls out a knife, stabs him to death. He dies in his twin brother's arms. It's like the worst, friggin' saddest thing in the history of mankind. It's awful. I hate it. You already know this. You already know that in response to it, that there have been all these online legal defense funds set up for the one who allegedly did the stabbing, and that now it's in high six figures, and you already know. And you already know, you turn on the television set every single day, and there's this guy, Minister Dominique Alexander, representing, of course, the family of the one who did the stabbing, saying a bunch of things like this.
And that is your constitutional right? It's people out here reminding us of the black struggle in America.
Okay. So, this is probably going to offend virtually every single person listening. I'm going to explain what we're looking at here. Let's address the white side of it, because this has devolved into a racial thing, a purely racial thing. And I understand completely why. From the white side of it, here's the white point of view. Really, it's really just an honest point of view, but here's a white side of it. A lot of people in this country, they believe that the black community in this country is not only violent, they believe that the black community in this country, they believe their violence has been covered up not only by the American media, but by the various law enforcement agencies, including the FBI. They believe that black people attack white people at an extremely high number, especially compared to the other races. And the people who believe everything I just said are 100% correct. Don't worry, if you're cheering right now, you're about to get offended, because I'm probably going to offend everyone when I say this. The people who believe that are 100% correct. Black crime in this country is covered up by the media, because we have a collective white guilt society. It is covered up by law enforcement to the degree they will even stop tracking certain races and things like that when it comes to crime, in an ongoing effort to protect the reputation of the black community. Now, I need to stress this particular portion of it. It's not every black person. The urban black community in the United States of America is a disaster, and the culture is awful in every way. I'm not covering up that at all. But that's not every black person. I know black cowboys, black Marines, black. That's not every black. Every black person isn't rotting in some urban hellhole that's high on crime. That's not what I'm saying. But that whole rap ghetto urban black community thing that celebrates all the most despicable behavior you can find is indefensibly bad, violent, and horrible for everyone. Black people, white people, the entire country. So there is an inordinate amount of crime committed by the black community because of the crime centers in the urban areas. And a lot of people, we'll make it about white people right now, a lot of people are sick of it. And they're sick of the fact that it's being covered up. They don't like it. No one wants to talk about it. Now, maybe you're cheering. You're about to scream at me. Here's the other side of it. And this part's 100% true too. From the black side of it, we are not that far removed from a period of time in this country where black people were treated as second-class citizens. We are not far removed from that. Now, you may think, well, that's no excuse. Stay with me. Stay with me here. I'm talking about a generational connection. And here's what I mean. If you are a 20-year-old black person in America today, have you experienced systemic racism? No, you haven't, you freaking liar. But your grandma probably did, and you talked to her. And your mom maybe did. Maybe your dad did, and you talked to him. And for him, for her, it was very real. And they're going to share those experiences with you. This is what happened to us. This is how they used to treat us. This is what they did to us. Now, when you combine that with this, and this is what we've discussed before, anytime there is a minority, and minority in America almost always means non-white, but remember, that's not what minority actually means. It means your group of people, whatever it is, you're not in the majority. Anytime there is a minority population anywhere, in a country, in a tribe, in prison, wherever it is, they will feel threatened. And they will shield up and turtle up with each other as a form of protection by being the minority. By being in the minority, we have to live together, work together, support each other because we have to be protected as the minority. I brought up that poll that just came out the other day that showed black people by a mile, it wasn't even close, are more likely to identify with their race than Hispanics or Asians or whites or anyone else. Why? 13% of the population historically haven't been treated well. Therefore, what that has created after generations is a community that will guard itself, protect itself, and that's how it manifests. Now, here is a huge problem with that portion of it. That's understandable, by the way. It's completely understandable. A huge problem with that is once you turn into that, once you turtle up out of protection, once you turtle up, inevitably you will find yourself defending something awful. You'll find yourself either supporting or being quiet about instead of speaking out against your, quote, leaders who are speaking out on your behalf. And your whole community will look terrible because of the people that go out and represent you and you don't want to speak out against them. For instance, this minister, Dominique Alexander. Dude, this makes everybody look bad. It does. When you raise six figures and then you hire somebody like this, it makes you look really bad.
And that is your constitutional right?
So everyone from the outside looking in, what do they say? Here we go again. Defending another criminal. Oh, look, another murderer getting defended, raising a bunch of money, let out on jail. Oh, look, another black guy about to get off scot-free. But from the other side, if you're in the black community, no matter what your age is, and you were raised to believe or maybe you actually experienced oppression because of your skin color, what do you see with this whole thing? You look and you think, oh, look, the white people want to throw another black guy in prison. Even if he did it, screw you. You're not throwing another black guy in prison. Remember we had that woman, Chris will probably find it. You don't have to find it, by the way, if you can't, Chris, but there was an older black woman who was part of the part of the O.J. Simpson jury, and she admitted years later that they let O.J. Simpson off in response to the cops who beat Rodney King getting off. Now, you can say those cases are unrelated, and you're right. And you can say what she did was wrong or unjust, and you would be right about that. All that stuff is true. But for her, perfectly justified. No. You just let off the cops who beat this black guy almost to death. You let them off because they're cops. Black people are oppressed anyway. And now you want to throw O.J. Simpson in prison for killing his wife? I don't care if he did kill his wife. Not guilty. Very, very tempting. Very tempting. So I don't think I'm going to speak about this again. I'm going to try not to. Maybe I will when the trial comes up. But I hate how this thing has immediately devolved into an all-out race war. Immediately, the black people feel like they have to defend the black guy who kills them. But immediately, the white people feel like, wait a minute, this is once again a black criminal doing black crime things. And I just find the whole thing to be awful. And look, there are obviously going to be racial aspects to it. But like I said before, I see two 17-year-olds whose lives are over. The white kid's already dead. The black kid's life is over. Over. And look, to be honest, that's maybe the best case scenario. If it's proved that he did it and he gets convicted, his life is over, we might be looking at more riots because of all this crap. And then that'll make the racial divide even worse. I find the whole thing to be awful. I'm sure I offended everybody. And remember, if I offended you, no matter what your color is, I don't give a crap. All right? All right. We are actually going to talk to Brandon Darby, not next, but we're going to talk to Darby about a couple border things in about 10 minutes from now. I'll try to do some more emails. I am walking away from this story, and Lord willing, I'm never going to return. You should walk away from Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, and you should never return either. You know that $25 a month can get you unlimited talk, text, and 5 gigs of data? When I tell you to switch to Pure Talk, I always talk about their values, how they hire Americans, how they don't take your money and dump on your country. I always talk about these things, but let's just make it about money. $25 a month? That's nothing. Oh, and by the way, when you dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, that'll save you an additional 50% off of your first month. That's almost getting your cell service for free at this point in time. Pure Talk will take care of you. You don't have to switch your phone. You don't have to switch your number. They make it easy. Just pick up your phone and dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now. Ask me anything. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We have Brandon Darby going to give us a little border cartel update about 10 minutes from now. I am aware. I've got your emails. I'm aware about the shooting that took place at Florida State earlier today. I'm aware. If you are a new listener to the show, you may not be aware that I don't do mass shooting radio. I don't. I heard what the reporter asked Trump in the White House. In case you missed it, here's how it went. And this is actually Exhibit A for why I don't do mass shooting radio. Here she was.
There are now two deceased following that shooting at Florida State University. Following and amid that, is there any changes that you want to see to gun legislation? Anything you see broken with gun laws in our
country?
Well,
I'm going to have to look. I'm a big advocate of the Second Amendment. I have been from the beginning.
Yeah, by the way, Trump answered it great. Trump did fine. It's not really about him, my point in all this. It's about her. Whenever there's a terrible tragedy, because communists have no soul, they immediately see it as an opportunity. That brain dead communist, she saw two dead people on Florida State's campus, And she didn't think about their parents. She didn't think about the tragedy. She immediately thought, wow, this is an opportunity. Sweet. I'll ask Trump about it. I don't do it. I won't do it. What I want you to do, if you want to dwell on that shooting, is pray for those poor families. Imagine sending your child off to college and your child gets gunned down one day on college campus. I don't need to know anything else. I'm not going to talk about anything else. It's awful. It's sad. Families need your prayer right now. Families today got the worst phone call they've ever gotten in their lives. The phone call every single parent lays awake at night now and then dreading, has nightmares about. Parents got those phone calls today. It's an awful, awful thing. And what we need is prayer. Come together, pray. Jesse, when does caring cross over into communism? Well, look, communists understand your values sometimes better than you do, to be honest with you, because they can look at your values dispassionately. They don't share them, and they don't have any desire to share them. But they can look at you and figure out what makes this person tick, what doesn't make this person tick. Look, even when they're trying the best they can, about this MS-13 guy they keep trying to bring back. Listen to CNN on this.
But I think there's absolutely enough here to send this guy somewhere else. One, he's already broken the law. We've already established that. Now you do have evidence suggesting that he was a member or is a member of MS-13. He's also a serial abuser. This is not the type of individual I don't think any one of us would want in our country. He should be deported.
Michael, we can't make it about Kilmer. Like, that's just one person.
But that's the case we're talking about.
That is, but I guess if we look at the macro and not the micro, and just look at the process of this, because he's not the only person there. There were other, they indiscriminately rounded up people and deported them.
When you're trying to bring back a scumbag into America, you have to tell lies about that. So you can't, you understand it looks bad. If we focus on him, it looks bad. His criminal history looks bad. So now it's got to be about, well, all of us, do you want to get rounded up? That's the new thing.
We do not disappear people in the United States. Because here's the thing. If they can disappear Mr. Abrego Garcia, then they can disappear you. It's about disappearing people, but it's also about obeying court orders.
The communist wants him back here. They want the criminals here. We already explained why. They also understand that you don't want a criminal back here. You don't want this guy back here. In fact, the American people, they're completely thrilled about what Trump's doing.
Deport all undocumented immigrants. Voters favoring the government trying to deport all 11 million of them. Back in 2016, just 38% of voters wanted the government to try to deport all 11 million undocumented immigrants. Compared to where we are in 2025, 56%, the majority. The American people have come a long way on this issue.
So it's not working. What do you do if you're a communist? You want this guy back and you want all the others to stay. What do? You have to figure out a way to lie about it and to use your values against you, your values that care about government intrusion, your values that you don't want the government to round people up. So then you make it broader. When it benefits them to make it specific, they will make it specific. When it benefits them to make it broad, they will make it broad. But they will always seek out a way to use your values for their purposes. As far as caring goes, that was the question. That's how they've always sold communism. Always. And even if they can't win you over, even if they can't get you a communist membership card, they can at least kind of tamp down your resistance. Are you saying you don't like immigrants? Immediately you're on the deal. Well, I never said that. I mean, my grandfather immigrated here. Immediately you're playing defense. This is how they do it. They do it repeatedly. They learn it. It is a tactic that is learned. Remember, these communist tactics that your liberal Aunt Peggy learns, they're learned. Learned. These people are professional revolutionaries. Remember when they got that one of the founders of Black Lives Matter on camera? Remember when she talked about being a Marxist? Did she just say, I'm a Marxist? No. We are what? We are trained Marxists. This stuff is learned. There is, it's like professional schools, only they're actually the schools we pay for most of the time. Anyway, let's talk to Darby about the cartels next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And I don't know whether to even ask Chris whether Darby didn't pick his song or did. Chris thinks, did you think you picked a bad song there, Chris? Because I think that song is fantastic. I'm not even ashamed about it. Joining me now, Cartel Chronicles, Breitbart's very own Brandon Darby. Brandon, if you picked that, well done. If not, well done anyway.
Well, what I did was I picked the person who picked it. And I get some credit.
Okay, Brandon, the border's quiet. At least it's not in the news, right? We're all chasing a brand new shiny object every day. There's this court case and this stabbing or this horrible thing. Why am I not hearing more about the border?
Well, there's not as much going on the border. I mean, apprehensions are down over 90% from where they were a year ago. You know, I think that agents feel empowered to do their job. Most, you know, federal law enforcement agents along the border and across the country are feeling empowered to go after cartels and to more aggressively go after China. So if, you know, there's not as much going on. Now, on the Mexico side, there's a lot going on. But even then, there's a lot of good news as well. There's some bad news, but there's a lot of good news.
Okay. Speaking of the bad news, I wanted to ask you about the mass graves. I know that's a little dark, but I want people to understand how dark it is down there. What mass graves?
Well, I'm just going to bluntly say this. There's mass graves found all of the time in Mexico, including, you know, close to our border, where cartels kill people. We had a story come out today on Breitbart, Texas about the forced conscription of ordinary people that the Gulf cartel Reynosa faction was forcing to help them, right? Forcing, like almost like what's going on in Ukraine or something, you know, maybe Russia, I don't know, because not a lot of news from there, but there's this forced conscription, forcing people to be soldiers for them. And a lot of that is because we've just really damaged, their economic model by not allowing migrants to the border. Remember, this faction of the Gulf cartel was making as much or more from migrant smuggling as they were from drugs. Well, Trump takes office and they can't do that anymore. And so they're a little bit desperate. You know, they're declared a foreign terrorist organization. Politicians who would typically take their money are afraid to take their money right now, even more afraid of that than they are, you know, afraid of U.S. Treasury and the U.S. government than they are of the cartel, so of the local cartel. So these guys are having a hard time. Now, there are other cartels that we're not really going after and Mexico is protecting, like CJNG, you know, El Mencho. But as far as along the Texas border, the Trump administration is giving these guys hell.
Who's in the mass graves?
Well, that's the thing. It depends. So sometimes, you know, the mass grave that was found over a decade ago in Allende in Coahuila, just south of Del Rio, Texas, and Eagle Pass, Texas, really, those were just ordinary citizens who happened to have the last name of some guy who turned government witness. And so Los Zetas decided, the cartel that's headquartered in Nuevo Laredo, immediately across, you know, the border from Laredo, Texas, that cartel decided just to go in that region and kill every person with that last name. You know, some mass graves that were found in Tamaulipas under, you know, the McAllen to Brownsville area, south of there, there were mass graves found of migrants who the, you know, Gulf cartel agreed to smuggle. And then those guys, I don't know, maybe they got busy or wanted to go see a movie or a friend asked them to come to a party. So they just left the people in a railroad car and they died. And the people, a storage container, and then the people, you know, they were like, hey, get rid of the bodies. And so they bury him there. But the majority of the time that I've seen, the mass graves are not, you know, if somebody is a cartel player, they don't mind hanging their head or hanging their body from an overpass. The mass graves are often meant to hide what they did. And usually that's people who, you know, quote unquote, didn't deserve it. Right. People who were not part of that life. So it's a heinous situation. You know, I think that people lose sight of just how many people, you know, since 2005 or 2006 or so, how many people have been killed in this cartel war, you know?
Why then? What happened in 2005, 2006?
Well, you know, a number of the cartels began to fight each other. It's really a complex, pretty complex situation, but basically, to make a long story short, you know, a cartel in Mexico decided that they needed to diversify and break up in order to, you know, in order to protect themselves and not just get, you know, the entire cartel, you know, destroyed in one swoop. So they divided, you know, the territories amongst family and amongst others, a lot of the territories, and then those territories began to fight for control along our border. You know, after 2001, you know, the U.S. government began to sort of secure the border, did a half measure. Well, those areas that got more secured, nobody really wanted, but those areas that weren't secure yet, people wanted. And they said, well, how come, you know, it's not my fault that George Bush and that these, you know, terrorists attacked the U.S. on 9/11. It's not my fault the U.S. built a wall right here. How come, you know, you have territory that doesn't have a wall? Why don't I get to use that too? And they began to fight each other. And so, you know, this has been a pretty hectic thing. The Gulf cartel had, you know, hired a large army of elite fighters, many of whom were trained in the United States, who were, you know, cops and federales. They hired this army, and the army decided that they wanted to be their own cartel, and they became Los Zetas, right? So it's been just a very tragic situation, you know, and then for the next, you know, maybe decade roughly, a lot of territories, even along our border, were under the direct control. And then that began to change. People began to get frustrated with it. You know, people began to get frustrated with Coahuila. So, you know, Coahuila started a police force called Los Gates, and Los Gates violated every human rights standard possible because they had no other choice if they wanted to kill Los Zetas, and they began to kill all the Zetas. And so then the Zetas didn't have a stranglehold on Coahuila any longer, you know, south of Eagle Pass and Del Rio. But then Los Gates started becoming a cartel. You know, it's just a giant mess.
Brandon, where do they go from here? Let's assume that, honestly, I don't want to assume anything, but let's assume these Trump policies on the border, cracking down on the border, securing things, going after money, let's assume these remain in place for a while. These organizations aren't going to take up knitting. You know, they're not going to open mechanic shops. Where do you go from here?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. So, when I oftentimes, and I've talked to you about it several times, about how removing the head of the Gulf cartel, you know, turned it into many factions that were all fighting each other, right? And it increased the violence temporarily. And that poses some unique challenges to the United States, not only to law enforcement, but to the U.S. population as a whole. However, what the Gulf cartel really doesn't have anymore, because they've been decapitated so many times, you know, they got decapitated, and then several grew in its place, and then those groups got decapitated. Well, now there's so many disparate groups, and yes, they're violent, but they're more akin to gangs. And none of them have any real national power any longer, any real national control over the Mexican central government. Well, the same could be true said about Los Zetas. The same can be true about a lot of cartels. And right now, a lot of that can be said over the Sinaloa cartel. They have a lot of state power, but they've been decapitated. Now they've broken into factions. However, the most ruthless cartel in Mexico, the largest, most ruthless, most responsible for fentanyl, is called CJNG from Jalisco. And the Mexican government is protecting that cartel. They're not going after that cartel. That cartel boss, El Mencho, is known, and we've reported on it. Mexican news outlets have even reported on it, which is pretty wild, but is known to have very direct ties with the Secretary of Defense for Mexico, the current Secretary of Defense. So it's that level of corruption. It's that level of power. And he is being allowed to skate while Mexico has convinced the United States to focus on the Sinaloa cartel and to focus on the Zetas and to focus on the Gulf cartel while they protect the main cartel, which then only allows that main cartel to get bigger because the U.S. and Mexico are wiping out his competition.
Wow. Sounds like it's working out well for them. Brandon, you are the best. Brandon Darby, go read all this stuff at Breitbart. Thank you, my friend, as always. It's always interesting. I don't know why we love that stuff. It's crazy. It's just crazy. Mexico's right there. Right there. You know what else is crazy? Not having gold or silver. Having it as part of your retirement. I mean, I'm not telling you to acquire gold bars like Bob Menendez. It wouldn't hurt to have some physical gold. I'm a big believer in that, gold or silver coins, because I think we all know what's happening with the debt. But if you don't have any in your retirement by now, you're just nuts. Who do you trust to do that, though? Well, Gold Co. didn't get an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau by being scam artists. They've won numerous awards, over 6,000 five-star reviews. We are talking white glove service. I don't know how to get gold or silver in your retirement, and you probably don't either, but Gold Co. does. Protect the retirement you worked for. You want to qualify for bonus silver? Maybe up to 15 grand of bonus silver? 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an incredible Thursday. Do not forget that tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. The Supreme Court is going to hear arguments over the injunctions on Trump's bid to end birthright citizenship. And this is obviously a very cut and dry thing for anybody who's sane and not completely twisted. It's bonkers that you just have to sneak into America illegally, have your baby here, and that baby's a citizen. It's not only insane and suicidal, it's not constitutional. And this is one of those things that the legal scholars will try to talk over your head with this, but everyone knows. Everyone knows that's not what the 14th Amendment was about. Everyone knows why the 14th Amendment came to be. It was about the freed slaves. Everyone knows these things. But through years and years and years of communist infiltration into the legal system and GOP weakness, we now have a system where the United States of America, they'll let some illegal skip across the border from Mexico, have a kid right on the border on the American side, and that kid gets a social security number and citizenship in the United States of America. It's just the most disgusting suicidal thing in the world. My point with the Supreme Court thing is it doesn't matter how they rule. No, I'll take that back. It matters how they rule. We want them to rule in our favor. But I will not be swayed one way or the other if the Supreme Court rules against us. What I just laid out is crystal clear to every single person. It's clear to you. It's clear to them, too. They just try to find different ways to jump through these legal hoops to justify this or justify that. And we all know what they're trying to justify in the end. They're trying to justify the mass importation of foreigners. And you know why. We've talked about it a million times. You know exactly why. I had mentioned a little bit earlier, a couple segments ago, about how when something specific aids their revolution, they'll make it about that specific thing. And when the specific thing doesn't aid their revolution, they'll make it broad. So if you happen to lionize an MS-13 gang member and the public figures out that he's a wife-beating piece of trash, then, it could happen to anyone, like Elizabeth Warren
did.
We
do not disappear people in the United States. Because here's the thing. If they can disappear Mr. Abrego Garcia, then they can disappear you. It's about disappearing people, but it's also about obeying court orders.
Well, it's not about him. It's about anybody. It could happen to you. And they do this, of course, with all the violence from the left. Governor Shapiro, that would be Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro, refuses to discuss pro-Palestinian motive for the attack. Now, pause for a moment and think about this. How much do you love your family? Think about waking up in the middle of the night. Your home is full of smoke. There's a raging inferno in your home. You actually manage to get everyone to safety. Gosh, your heart would be pounding no matter what. After you've gotten them to safety, you're approached by the police and you're informed that this wasn't some electrical fire. It's not that someone left a stove on. Grandma didn't put her cigarette out on the couch. This was actually an arsonist who tried to firebomb your family to death. And he did it because you're a Jew. That's why he did it. The dude was one of these socialist, communist, America-hating scumbags, but he really, really hates the Jews. He did it because you're a Jew. And you get up, and because you know you have to play footsie with the most vile, disgusting parts of the Democrat Party, you don't even make a strong statement about it. Remember that mealy-mouth statement he gave the other day? Well, look, I mean, violence is wrong no matter which side. We're not going to focus on the sides. Remember what I just said? When specifics make them look bad, they make it broad. When broad makes it look bad, they make it about specifics. Old Governor Shapiro almost had his entire family burned to death by a communist activist, and even that won't prompt him to speak out against the revolution. Wild, isn't it? These people, man, they're wild. I'm telling you what. Anyway, here was Ben Rhodes. Remember Ben Rhodes, former aide to Obama?
And I think the thing we have to be watching is that they're using these autocratic powers in this kind of fake state of war to justify deporting people like this there. Then it could be American citizens. Then it could be, I don't know, canceling elections, whatever they want to do.
See their new strategy? MS-13 wasn't landing. People weren't feeling sympathy. Obviously, the new thing has been put out by the hive mind. New messaging is put out there. Well, it's not about him. It's about you. They might even cancel elections. What if they just show up and round you up? They could round up any of us. You never know who might get rounded up next. Everything built on a lie at all times and always seeking out the right lie.
I think our reverence for the truth might have become a bit of a distraction that is preventing us from finding consensus and getting important things done.
Let's make fun of Bernie Sanders, who flies on private jets. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.